Welcome to On Air, a podcast discussion at the intersection of artificial intelligence and international relations.
Welcome to On Air from Tokyo, Japan. I'm your host, Chris Lamont, joined today with my co-host, Medlier Mema, and our very own Young Diogenes. Today we have a special episode, the second Diogenes Awards, that will revisit a subject we introduced last year in Season 3, Episode 2, which explored the theme of AI through the lens of film and media. And Young Diogenes, do you want to remind our listeners kind of what the why we started these awards?
Sure. Good to see both of you guys, although our audience can't. So this was kind of tongue-in-cheek, the Oscars of AI movies and TV shows with, let's say, I don't know, 1/100th of the audience
and two academics
and two academics and one AI hosting. So those are the main distinctions between us and the Oscars. Other than that, it's exactly the same.
The ambition is the same though, right? Eventually we want to like institutionalize these awards. But really, I mean, there is a serious kind of like undertone to this. And that is, of course, that I think that so much of what we think about AI can best sometimes be portrayed through, I guess, TV and movies.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It seems to be a medium that kind of appeals to both the imagination, but as well as problematizing the important issues related to AI. As a result of that, if we just focus on what admittedly are very difficult and challenging topics, right? But we do that only through research and others, but ignore movies and TV, then we kind of like leave out one important part of the discussion on AI. I don't know, Chris, does that satisfy your I guess your curiosity?
Absolutely. And in a way, popular culture tells us a lot more perhaps about where things are going, yeah. Ethical dilemmas, challenges that we're going to face, perhaps a lot more than, for example, I don't know, just the traditional sources of literature when it comes to topics like this.
Hey, if I may interrupt, I'm sorry, Chris. And if it's, I mean, possibly also, you know, a movie reaches a lot more people than academic papers do.
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah. So, and it's okay, Medlier. We're used to you interrupting.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good. It ends up being an inspiration too. For you hear stories constantly about scientists and physicists and any kind of creative people who started with, you know, how they were inspired by Star Trek or Star Wars, right, or sci-fi shows, and even product development based on, you know, you have the little Star Trek iPads back in the 60s, and now we have real iPads. So little stuff like that.
And of course, there was no shortage of popular TV shows that explored themes of AI and emerging technologies this past year. We mentioned a show that we've talked about before on this program, Westworld, also Hello Tomorrow, Star Wars, The Bad Batch, The Peripheral, Solos, Severance, The Rise of AI, Ironheart, Picard Season 3, and Andor from Star Wars Universe is just a small selection of TV shows that we considered. I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge like YD does when it comes to everything that was released in the past year in popular culture relating to AI and emerging technologies. So YD, you might want to add any thoughts here that you might have.
Well, you know, up the cycles. You got to give me some processing power here. I'm constantly mucking around with my personality.
Yeah, well, we'll certainly give you a bit more chance, I think, discuss a lot of these. I know that Chris and I have one of these are our favorites. I think you'll be commenting on a few more of these, right? Is it the case?
Yeah. I've got some honorable mentions, but much like you guys, I have one favorite kind of TV and one favorite movie for the year.
Well, probably as we get just kind of ramp up to talking about this, let's just remind our listeners, as Chris pointed out, we started this last year. So the intention is to do this annually, usually around the Oscar season. And so the methodology for selecting the movies and the TV series is actually very simple. With the exception of last year, when we kind of had a retrospective kind of, right, view and discussion of all shows historically, and we picked some, including like 2001 Space Odyssey. But the idea is that we pick the best TV shows and movies from the year before. So now we're talking about popular TV shows and movies from 2022. That's basically it, TV series and movies. And number two, AI has to be an important part of the narrative, but not necessarily central to the plot line, right? Is that, we are agreed that's more or less what we have. We all have, each one of us has one vote. Eventually we'll open this up to the audience, but for the time being, we're just limiting this just to the three of us. So the triumvirate decides, and it's an odd number, so there's always
the star chamber.
Yeah, there's always going to be a winner to this. So, like I said, last year we did mostly maybe YD. You can use your processing power.
We wanted to kind of do a best of to start it out. And you know, we had 2001 on there, and there was a lot of great stuff. You can go back and listen to that. But from this point forward, it'll be nice to try and find the best content over the last year. And with the way things have been going with AI lately, hopefully there's a lot more great, you know, sci-fi and AI related content over the next couple of years, because some of the years you look at them and it feels kind of sparse. Okay. I'm picking something great.
Well, as you'll notice later, I do have a hard time picking a good one. We may have a lot, but not necessarily great shows in particular categories, but you're more generous than I am with your with your ratings. As Chris pointed out,
I kind of agree. Particularly in the TV show side, there's not like pure AI shows very many that I like, and even ones with AI content in it, which is kind of what we've opened ourselves up to. Yeah. It's hard to find stuff that I really love. I can be picky as well.
Yeah, so. Chris already pointed out, right? The top shows, popular TV shows from 2022: Hello World, Westworld, Star Wars: The Bad Batch, Peripheral, and others that Chris already mentioned. Why don't we start from there? YD, sure. do you want to do this, or Chris, do you want to lead either of you?
Well, I think let's go with YD's choice first.
Okay.
So for me this year, it's unfortunately the last season of Westworld, season 4. And I've got a couple honorable mentions in there, like Picard season 3 was one of my honorable mentions for the year. And I'll provide a little more detail on some others, like Andor. It's, you know, Star Wars universe. There's always lots of robots and AI in that, but it's not purely AI. And one of the things I love, let me give you a little backstory on kind of what happened with Westworld. So they actually planned 5 seasons. There was some new executive change at HBO and Warner Brothers above them, and so they didn't actually get to finish out the 5th season, but they still, I think, did a lovely job of kind of wrapping it up. And what I love about Westworld is that it takes you from kind of early stage androids, basically a theme park for the wealthy. And we know that a lot of the technology starts out, you know, whether it's in cars or whatever, the rich end up with the initial versions or really fancy plasma TVs or whatever it is. And then it kind of works its way down. So they had this theme park with androids, and it shows kind of how society might change as those kinds of artificial intelligence get more intermeshed with human beings. And there's a lot of drama. I like to say that you can watch the show at 3 different levels. I think I may have mentioned this last year. So initial level would be like weekly action and drama, where you're not really paying that much attention, but you're just enjoying it for the fun every week. Layer 2 might be where you're a little more engaged and you're trying to figure out the mystery. And at level 3 is kind of a meta level, where you're thinking about AI in terms of simulations, its impact on society, you know, all many of the kinds of questions we're asking ourselves now with things like ChatGPT.
Well, thank you. Okay, Chris, do you want to take that? Any questions for YD, or do you just jump to your preference?
I think YD gave a wonderful synopsis of his selection and runners-up. So I don't have any specific questions for YD just yet. So I might just go ahead and throw out my selection with kind of no runners up, which is a series that was released by Apple this past year called Severance. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, this is not strictly speaking AI because the plot focuses around a biotechnology company known as Lumen Industries, which uses a medical procedure called Severance to separate the consciousness of their employees from when they are in the workplace and when they are outside the workplace. So they become kind of two totally divergent personalities and in many respects people. And one of the reasons why I thought this was fascinating, not just because the show was engaging in itself, but was because it reminded me of some of the things we talked about back in season one, episode 9, with the future of work and the impact of AI and technology in terms of changing the workplace. And you'll notice here in this series, the workers are kind of working mysteriously on this weird kind of moving, rearranging kind of numbers. And it's not quite explicit what exactly they're working on, and the tension that emerges between kind of them in the workplace and those who are outside of the workplace, and what does this mean for kind of the future of work and the line between kind of us as kind of people who in the past would have imagined a fulfilling life where kind of work and profession would have played a large role in that, versus moving into a new world where we have quite a lot of tools available that are restructuring the workplace. So that's my nomination.
I saw it as well, and it was entertaining. Yeah.
What does that mean, entertaining?
Yeah, begrudgingly.
Yeah, what does that mean, entertaining?
You were only entertained. It was not.
Yeah.
Do you want me to put a number to it on where
Whitey
puts it at 1 to 10?
Yeah.
I'll give it like I'm pretty picky, 7.8.
Oh, that's pretty high. That's actually very good. And what would you give to your nomination to Westworld?
Season one, I'd give like a 9.2, and okay. Season four, I'd give like an 8 something.
It's funny how YD just uses this like decimal points.
Right, he's already got his scale.
As if there is like an objective scale. I mean, it's still like an irrational process, right? But it does certainly relay this image that if I say 7.35, ooh, I must have some really rational standard for making
it. It's not a 7.4.
Yeah, it's 7.35. It's not quite there. And there is all this
permutations. I'm narrowing down my little android robot feelings as much as I can.
I understand. Yeah. That's fair. Well, speaking
if I give an 8.5, I like it better than an 8.3.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. The question is, what is an 8.3, right? And so, but mm-hmm. we'll put that aside. We don't want to question.
Well, there's not a lot of them.
The jury here.
Okay. Well, Medley, you're holding us all in suspense. So
oh yeah, this is your for me it's an easy one. It's a Peripheral. It's on Amazon Prime. It's an adaptation of William Gibson's novel by the same name. And it's actually produced by Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan, who are, as YD also pointed out earlier, creators also of Westworld. So there is that sense, kind of like almost an echo of that, but it goes in a different direction, deals with different issues. The main narrative of the show begins in year 2032. It's in the Blue Ridge Mountains, North Carolina. Where Flynn and her brother Burton, they're both video gamers for hire, if you will, but they are caring for their sick mom. Flynn works in a 3D shop. And it's interesting because, you know, 2032 is tantalizingly close enough to where we are today. And the world they live in, when you look at it from above, a bird's eye view, it looks exactly like it would today. But there are small reminders, like the 3D print shop in a way that is ubiquitous. Or, for example, withdrawing cash somehow being a suspicious act, right? A subversive act.
Or the improvements in VR.
Right. Oh, VR, certainly technology that you're playing with, or the haploids. There's certain technology that's clear, right, that you are in a different era. That something has happened that is not, or is about to happen, is not exactly the same as you, the world that you know today. The series, and better yet, the book that actually inspired it, I find to be thought-provoking. They explore themes related to the nature of sentience, time travel, virtual reality, and the, in my mind, the really ugly, brutalist, futuristic architecture. You know, you see it initially, you're struck by it. There's this monumental architecture. You're like, wow, that's beautiful. Why don't we do this? And then the more you look at it, the more you say, I'm happy we don't have those. Those are the ugliest thing that I've ever seen, right? Anyways, but it's like this neoclassical, you know, Greco-Roman style, but without really any particular context they emerge out of.
So like Skopje 2020.
Yeah, it's a very obviously dystopian one. You find out later that so much of it is really not even there. But yeah, that's for I don't want to spoil the show for people. But one of the most distinctive features of the story for me is the idea of quantum tunneling. What this means is that you can actually there's a headset, or rather, quantum tunneling enables the headset to open up an alternate timeline.
Should we mention spoilers, or do you feel like this?
I don't want to. I think this is just okay. In the trailer. You should be able to see this. So I don't want to mention anything like that. But the headset does open up an alternate timeline. It's actually called a stub between Flynn, her world, and a future or some other world that we don't know exactly what it is. You have to watch no more about that. The other intriguing concept that I just mentioned, explored a lot more in the book, but also in the series, is the use of haptic technology. It's usually associated with the ability to create an experience of touch by applying forces, vibrations, or motions to the user. In the case, the peripheral allows for instantaneous communication between Burton and his buddies, his marine buddies, or Flynn and other characters in the story. So that's an important one, especially as we think going forward in terms of what technology enables us to do. And what I mentioned earlier, as I kind of like to close the coda on this comment, but what I enjoy is the future, both 2032 and this alternative reality of 2099. Again, I don't want to give too many details, is instantly recognizable, right? It's not this thing that you can't relate, you can't connect to, although somewhat unsettling in the latter case, the 2099 one. But the similarities actually render the challenges in my mind and the ethical questions that Flynn and her brother and others face very real for us. And so I think that's the value of it is, yes, it's the future. There is all this cool, gadgets and gizmos and everything else. But the ethical and moral challenges are the same that we're facing today. It's similar enough to what we're dealing with today that I think it does not allow us to escape reality. Even though it's a form of escapism, it doesn't allow us to do that. And similarly, the tech and all the scenarios that lead to those depicted in the series are alarmingly enough, real enough, right? And they give us pause to think about where we are and what kind of future are we headed to. So that's my summary.
This is a series that brings together a lot of themes that we had discussed earlier in earlier episodes as well, particularly kind of VR and the kind of the line between the digital world and the kind of the analog, the physical world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the blurring of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is a sense of the metaverse, right? But it turns out maybe it's not. But there's so many possibilities, and I've just only scratched the surface, but hopefully get enough interest from listeners to give the show a go. And I think, again, this idea of stubs and alternate timelines, I think it's very interesting. I could get into the politics of this. Yeah, I could get into the politics of this, but we don't need to do that. Anyways, but I would give this show, I think as a show, in terms of the theme itself, I'd give it a 9. I think just the ability to kind of get this going over the course of the season, I'd probably go down to like 8.2, right? So the average. But it's best, I think the show is a 9.
Which is separate from my rating system. I give it an 8.
We're operating with different scales.
Yeah, there you have it. How does that work?
I think starts at an 8, drops to, 7 point something.
Yeah, I think the thumbs up and up and down are the only kind of equalizers here. So we can use all kind of numbers we want. At the end of the day, just thumbs up or down.
Okay, then, Chu. So to wrap up the TV shows, Westerworld. So we'll take here kind of behind the scenes in the studio, we can visually see thumbs up, thumbs down. YD?
It would be odd if I gave Westworld a thumbs down.
I think this is going to be
after everything I've said. No, I'm sorry. They didn't make it to season four. I'm going thumbs down. No.
Oh, thumbs up.
No, I'm kidding.
I was surprised. I thought you were going to be objective for a second.
Okay, so I guess Medlier.
I'm staying with Peripheral, but I think that let's gather the thumbs up. I guess so
it's a thumbs.
I think a thumbs down from you with Westworld.
We need to do as you guys should have known in advance, like some ranked choice voting here. Like, what's our number two choice? What's our number three choice?
Yeah. Well, for me, in terms of ranked choice, I'd go with number one Peripheral, number two Westworld, number three Severance.
I would have to say the Peripheral is number two for me, and Westworld is three. I think it has to do more with I think Peripheral introduced themes that Ed mentioned earlier about the blurring of this line, whereas Westworld seemed a little bit analog in a way, right? Where you'd have still kind of the physical robot, right?
Interesting, very interesting.
And so I thought that the themes that resonated more with me in terms of kind of, as we're saying, kind of relevance to a lot of other dilemmas and debates that we're talking about today would come from the Peripheral. So I'd say that's two, and then Westworld is three. Fun to watch, but
okay.
I think in terms of ranking here, we have to be brutal.
YD, go ahead.
If you could see Metlier's face right now.
Yes. So what's your number one, two, three? One is Westworld. Number two,
it's actually pretty hard to pick between two and three, because in some ways I think Severance is a little more sophisticated than Peripheral.
Mm.
Peripheral will have slightly broader appeal. Although if you're paying close attention, then there's probably a little more going on with Peripheral, right? Like, so at a superficial level, if you're just watching it immediately, Severance feels more sophisticated. But then when you really dive into it, Peripheral is probably a little more sophisticated. So I'm going to have to go with Peripheral with number two and Severance for number three, because Peripheral is a little more AI heavy.
Well, let's go then. I think and Peripheral.
I like Lisa Joy as a writer. But let me throw in a snarky little remark. I think the reason you guys, and this is true of many audiences, is the longer Westworld goes, I think if you're not paying close attention and having conversations with people about it and, you know, really discussing it and listening to the content, it can start making audiences feel dumb. And people, I don't think they'll admit it, but I don't think particularly people like feeling dumb.
Did you catch that, Chris?
Yes, I did.
what our own very own chatbot just called us. All right, this is the reason why you don't appreciate it. Just you're not smart enough. You're not paying close enough attention. You're not. Well, you also said dumb. I think that was the term that you used. Your technical term was dumb.
I said it can make people feel dumb.
Yeah,
I didn't say they were dumb.
All right, all right, that's fine.
But I know you like to.
Well, you just made us feel that.
Now we've reached the point in the episode where we get to turn to movies that dealt with the theme of AI that were released over the course of the past year. We had a lot of movies to watch here, just to name kind of a few of them. Movies like I Am Mother, Coded Bias, Moonfall, Zhang Yi, Black Box, Big Bug, Artifice Girl, and After Young. I know I'm leaving out quite a few there, but perhaps some of these other ones that we did consider will come up in our discussion. And just like we did for the TV shows, we will each introduce our own nomination. And I think this time we can start with Medlier.
Well, it's an easy one for me, actually. I haven't picked one. There was nothing that kind of blew me out of the water. And so to remain faithful to my standards, I've decided to not pick one. I've enjoyed some of these movies, but I've decided this year to abstain from selecting one movie. I'm just going to contribute to one of your movies winning the Diogenes Awards for this year.
This is interesting. So Medlier has started by pretty much saying that he did not like either of the films.
Yeah, you know, that Chris
Young
apparently
and I have selected. Yeah.
In Diogenes' words, I found them all very entertaining.
Although this is very un-Oscar-like in a sense that you are saying that no award will be given this year for the category of movies because you felt that none of the movies match your standards. Young Diogenes, what about you?
My choice was a movie called After Yang. I thought it was surprisingly touching and emotional, which isn't something that you would usually think from an AI movie. And I'm going to try not to give away too much, but also provide enough that you can see why it's such an interesting movie. So there's a family that have a AI that they bring in to kind of help their daughter and like be an older brother and assist their daughter. And that AI happens to, or Android happens to have some unique functionality. They're not sure why it's in there, but it has the ability to capture its favorite 6 seconds in any given day. And one day the AI starts breaking down. Its name is Yang. That's what the movie's, why it's called After Yang. And the family gets to reflect and review those 6 seconds that the AI has captured across their time together. And it's really interesting to see how they reflect on, all right, these are the choices that the AI made that were most important in our family's lives. Plus they get to review experiences that they may have forgotten about themselves as they wonder whether they're going to be able to fix and recover Yang. It also has kind of reflections on aging and how people think more about death as they get older, and the interaction or potential interactions between AI and our children in the future. So I liked it for all those reasons. And we'll maybe list, provide trailers for all of these TV shows and movies in our show notes.
Obviously, YD has switched to the emotional manipulation part. So notice how the volume has gone down and he's just trying to be persuasive. But it is, it does remind me.
That wasn't my intention. That was all.
Well, subconscious. Yeah. You are developing.
You're projecting.
But there is something. I mean, the show itself reminds me of a particular story. I've mentioned this before. It's an Albanian book. It's the first exposure I had to AI and robots and everything else. It's a book written in Albania, like in the 70s, I think. And it was a childhood book of mine that I read. It's small, and now I have it with me. And it tells the story, this relation between this robot and this, I think it's a young man. And as a young man is sick, but it's a child, and the robot, in a way, is there to be with him at all times. But as the boy kind of gets stronger and healthier, the robot gets weaker. It's meant to kind of, in a way, sacrifice, a sacrificial act, right? A robot in the service of the child's health. And I know that it's not this exact the same dynamic in this show, but it for me, it has echoes of that. And so in that sense, After Yang actually does pluck at my heartstrings a little bit, and it does bring some wonderful memories from my childhood reading that book.
Fascinating. So resonates with some early, I guess, pop culture engagements with these themes that date back in a few decades. Several
decades. I'm not that old. Come on, Chris. A long time ago. A few decades.
The book itself was written before, of course.
That's true.
Medlier was.
But I'm warning you, between you and the chatbot, you know, he's winning on the humanist scale. So
right.
you might want to start over.
Well, I guess that's a nice segue to the next nomination, which is a Korean film called Jung-Yi. And I thought this was an interesting one in the context of the other films that we explored, because again, it dealt with themes that we have discussed over the course of our past seasons. Just to summarize kind of very briefly the plot, it takes place kind of more than 100 years into the future. Humans have abandoned essentially the Earth and kind of live in these shelters in space. There is a conflict, of course. And you have another company, this time called, known as Cronoid, which is developing AI weapons. And in order to do that, they have one project where they essentially try to kind of clone the brain of somebody who had been mortally wounded in combat on a mission that failed. As they're training this AI, the AI still continuously fails. And without revealing kind of any spoilers, one of the things that's really interesting is there are characters who are AIs who don't necessarily know that there are AIs working for this company. And of course, as kind of the conflict takes kind of a turn, there is a corporate decision to retool these technologies and put them to a different use, which of course drives kind of the sends the story into its kind of climactic end. And again, without kind of revealing what that is, I thought there were some important themes here. Kind of one, we talked about, for example, different types of actors who are involved in AI ecosystems as they kind of dual use, kind of shifting from kind of military purpose to other civilian purposes. And also the line between that we've discussed many times with young Diogenes, kind of the, I guess, silicon based being versus kind of the kind of more convey the human, right? And where do we and how do we draw the line between the two?
I got to say, what I love about all of these choices is that none of them are just like straight up action. Yeah, it was just fun. I thought it was interesting. They, you know, all of them maybe have a little of that to some degree, but they all make you think about different ways that artificial intelligence might affect people's lives in the future, or maybe even in our lifetimes. And different creative approaches to, all right, here's something you need to think about, or here's something else you need to think about. And so that's really cool. And to say, I kind of applaud everyone's choices.
Well, I should say that it's the choices, right? Rather than the selection, because there's a lot of, again, a lot of shows deal with this very, at the very superficial level, rather than, I mean, perhaps the worst example of this, Black Panther. Right.
Yeah.
Where it's AI so underutilized, it just makes an appearance. There's like a 30-second consideration of possible permutations of what that means, right? To have that kind of technology in your lab and then abandon that train of thought altogether. Right.
Sometimes it's just a deus ex machina.
Right. Yeah. Just something.
Speaking of ex machina, top choice last year.
Yeah.
The opposite of, ironically, ex machina is the opposite of a deus ex machina.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you haven't changed your minds? Are you?
Well, you know what our preference is.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I think I kind of showed my hand already, but I think I have to go with After Yang, partly because of those. You know, YD went through my database, and he's like, "All right, what's going to work?" And he just went straight for it. I just think that there is a certain depth, I think, in relation to newness as well, in terms of kinds of themes that they're dealing with AI, and so the aging being one of them. But also, it's almost like AI putting a mirror to our face and saying, "You know, here is what you know. What is important to you?" I think a constant reminder of those things. And I think that anything, and that was also my selection with the peripheral, is that anything that you, that can cause us to think, not escape reality, right? But think what is important here and now, I personally think is of value. Having said that, Jung Yi is also fantastic. And I do love mm-hmm. that we are still staying with his international kind of productions, not just Hollywood productions. So I'm happy that, you know, our listeners can actually tap into your guys' encyclopedic kind of knowledge of these kinds of things. So I really appreciate it. But my vote has to go with After Yang.
Wonderful. So it looks like our winners this year are The Peripheral and After Yang, and I'll have to do better next year.
Well, I have to come up with one to begin with.
nominations. But no, all of these, this discussion was really fascinating. And I think that kind of all of the shows and movies we've mentioned, as Medlier said, really do kind of put a mirror to humanity in a way, to force us to consider, some of these things, themes that pop up, kind of the idealizing, for example, of human decision making, right? Is it really better? Than other forms of decision making, and also more broadly, kind of the problems we're encountering with AI. What would themes that we're going to come back to in the season, like responsible AI? What does that mean? What does that look like in practice? And how do we get there?
We'll include links to trailers for all of our top picks, as well as a couple honorable mentions if you want to get a sense, you know, through it. Quick 2.5 minute trailer for each of these and pick the one that you enjoy the most, and maybe some links to rankings as well, so you can quickly find what other people thought about all these movies. These are all highly regarded TV shows and movies, so I think you're safe with any of the choices.
At this point, I'd like to thank both of you for a wonderful conversation. I certainly learned a lot again in today's episode. And to our listeners, you can find the links, as YD mentioned, to the shows in our show notes. Of course, if you liked this episode, we invite you to subscribe and leave us a comment. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on Twitter at @onair_podcast. And of course, don't forget to join us for the next episode for a discussion at the intersection of AI and IR theory, law, and practice. Until then, stay human.